Feel that breeze come through the house. It's like, it just, I don't know, it was significant to me right when it happened.
Oh, yes.
Wow, God, thanks.
It's not an accident.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's just a fun sound in worship. I just, wow. It wasn't where my head was either. You know, it's like, isn't it great when he kind of knows what you need? I wanted to build on that thought. It's been in my head, thing of rest. There was a verse that I was, Steve Backlund had shared a few weeks ago on, it was a Hebrews about entering rest, that scripture in Hebrews. And just, you ever get a scripture and it just sticks in your head? And so what I've learned when they stick in my head, it's like Darla, when she said she woke up with a dream this morning. What did she, she says, I don't know what it means, but I know God's trying to say something. Do you ever do that with dreams? Or are they all pizza dreams, right? Where you're like, I have no idea why I thought that, but it must have been what I ate last night. But usually I do believe that's true. It's like, why did you have this, I had emotions in worship today. And so God, why? What is it you're... But if you give yourself to that, songs come out, right, Becky?
Yep.
Songs come out, and that's, I think dreams are like that, moments are like that. Anyway, I had that verse in my head about rest, and so I was thinking in my head, what does that even mean, right? Because you can go back to the early part of Genesis, right, creation, and God creates. And then it's like, now we can rest. I don't think I get what that means, by the way. But maybe starting to a little bit, because he talks about rest, Jesus does a lot. And there's something about, he's complete, it's already completed. I don't have to do anything here, right? So when you read Genesis, right, we get a lot, we understand the function of a day, which by the way, in the Jewish language or culture, the day begins in the evening. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's confusing.
It is confusing. in fact, on Sabbath, right, Jewish Sabbath starts on Friday evenings, right, when all the duties of the day are finished, right? It begins this weekend of rest. I think Dave and I were, Eric and Dave and I were out there. Remember that, do you see that text that Eric put out that had to do with, I don't remember why, what you were responding to. Oh, it was a conversation at church a week or two ago when we were sitting around the island. And then we watched a video and we each shared with each other about the video. And Eric was talking about hyper-learning. Maybe you saw it?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, wow, there's a lot of that that's going on base right now. And which really, you can dissect it 100 ways. But, the Garcias have a pattern. They have habits, right? You have styles of how you do things. The Searles do. Dave Scott does. And so when you encounter, when there's you're given a new challenge, you know what leads and how you confront that challenge? Your habits, your styles, what you know. And you know that sometimes that gets in the way of learning.
Oh, true.
Right? It does.
Yeah. We kind of do it, been there, done that.
And
yeah.
I know how to do this.
Yeah. I did.
Right.
Oh.
That's not like a child, right?
Right. So, because here's what, it's like, I already know this stuff. I got nothing to learn here. And once that wall goes up, guess what? You really don't. You're not going to learn nothing. And the truth is, if you give yourself just a moment to go, maybe there's something from the Garcia house that could impact me and show me something I don't know. Maybe there's something in the way Dave dealt with that situation. So this hyper-learning thing, it's like, can we drop some walls? Can we say, I don't get it? I don't know everything. Maybe my habits, maybe my traditions and cultures have really stopped me from growing and learning. And And can I confront that? And boy, after a while you start getting in that, you go, oh, okay, I can see that. Sometimes you go, wow, that sounds a lot of church sometimes. Because we do, I think that's what Eric was trying to say. We were trying to, we were confronting some difficult things. We were, I can't remember, I don't remember all the topics, but you would, there were topics that maybe in church they would normally say, no, we're not going to talk about that. And, heck, turn on the news. No, we're not going to talk about that here. It hurts our head to think that maybe there's something I can learn and grow from here. So this thought of rest, I was thinking, God, have I done that? Has it been, I got it. I know what this means. And so when he says there's this concept of what does it look like to live from rest, to is it possible that maybe my habits and cultures and traditions and yesterday's teaching have stopped me and I've kind of went, I already got that. I don't need to, In fact, maybe you could say, as we just kind of like put down some, okay, God, show me Holy Spirit. That's a great way to start your morning, by the way. God, I don't get it, so you better show me today. Show me something new. This verse I've read 1,000 times. Holy Spirit, come on. Is it possible? Maybe I'm missing it. Even the most basic verses, by the way. You show, surely I get this, right? For the most part, we're living in a response to something somebody else has taught us. You know, and... So if I grew up in a tradition that said this is how you respond to this, I'm not looking. I'm not
inquisitive.
I'm not inquisitive. Yeah. Boy, that's a great way of saying it. I'm not inquisitive. I can remember a moment in my life. It was in the 2007 to 2010 kind of zone, where I found, I kind of like looked in the mirror and realized I've stopped asking questions about God. And I've told you this before, but it was seeing the testimony of another, what I would call a smaller person. They weren't a leader. How about that? They weren't running a show. They weren't in ministry. I should put that in quotes or something. And they came, they had this impact, this encounter with God that was so radical. And I thought, I didn't know what to do with it. I literally, it was so attractive. And I thought, I'm not seeing it in the leadership. I'm not hearing those words. I'm not seeing anybody talk about that. And I found myself going, what the heck? Like, don't we want to talk about that? Because that's like wowzers, right? I want that. And I think sometimes we get in that and we spin our wheels and God disrupts us. God like maybe gives you a flat once in a while. Or hops your wheel out of your groove. You know, like sometimes you're pushing a cart and it's got, think about you're pushing a wheelbarrow and the wheel's in a groove. You know, that wheelbarrow's not going anywhere else unless something
right.
hops it up or something physical, moves it out of that groove. Actually, this isn't my stuff, but I'm actually thinking, some of the stuff in society, some of the stuff in culture. Some of this stuff, sorry, Eric, in politics, right? Some of the stuff on the news, I think are like, get your wheel out of the rut. That it's a disruptive moment, and we get uncomfortable with disruptive moments because we don't know what to do with it. And God, it's like, you need disruptive moments to like, get out of some ruts sometimes. And it's uncomfortable because I know where this rut goes. I know, it's right. It's going to the shed, to the street. And he's trying to take that wheelbarrow somewhere else. And wait, this is my rut. And so we get these uncomfortable moments. And I guess I'm starting to get more like, okay, God, what is, where is this path going to take? Because
inspiration.
I know you're in charge. Mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable around me when I see some things in culture happening, but I know you're in charge. Mm-hmm. So I've got hope, but boy, I don't know where this path is going to take. And okay, one more story. So I do a lot with satellite images and maps and kinds of things in my job. And I probably told you this one too, but I'm looking at this, I'm in this conference, this meeting, and mm-hmm. and we were looking at some satellite imagery, and it was the Missouri River. Mm-hmm. And they were showing the Missouri River, and they said, what? They showed one from like 50 years ago. And this massive river, right? Big river. And it shows that this river didn't used to go this way at this one area. It went this way. And I went, now there are big cities around here. Big cities. And I thought, what the heck did that? Big river. You probably know. I didn't. Tom, I'm like, what in the world? You're looking at pictures of the river that's huge, right? Huge. And it actually had a new path. And it was a flood. And in that flood, so things got broken. Things got destroyed. You would have said, oh, right? What in the world? And then this river found a new course. It was significant. It wasn't minor. It was a significant course change. Wow. And I thought, wow, God. You know, it's like there's disruption. There's things that look like damage everywhere. And you would look at the course today and go, well, that's interesting. How would you even have how would that even have happened if there wasn't that kind of disruption? And there was a lot of, they were talking about the benefit of that course correction. And I thought, okay, this is kind of cool, right? Wasn't cool at the time if you lived in that area. I don't know, maybe, is it possible? This is Danny spitballing right now. Is it possible we're in a moment in time where there's disruption. There's floods going on. It looks like damage and decay. And if you're looking, if you're standing in the flood zone, you're going,
kind of understatement.
God, this God, we're losing. Mm-hmm. You ever thought that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, we're it feels losing. Like it.
Because scripture says, we're going from glory to glory. It says the light is always expanding. You know what? No time does God say, we're going to experience time and the light goes down and then it's going to get... No, it says it is expanding, ever expanding. And yet, we could sit here and go, uh-uh, right? I told Darla, I said, God's playing 3D chess. We're playing checkers. And so somewhere in all of this, it's like there's something, hyper-learning. There's something. It's like, okay, God, what's the disruption for? What's the, and whether you want to throw in LGBTQ letters and pronoun stuff and trans stuff and abortion stuff and politics stuff, can you put it in the world of disruption and getting out of ruts, new pathways, and it's like, wow, God, it looks messy and ugly, and I'm really uncomfortable right now. Mm-hmm. But somewhere in all of this, there's something that's being... He wins.
A course correction.
A course correction. He wins. Mm. And so I just think, I'll just say that as just doing, hopefully stir hope in you this morning.
Right.
Writer of Hebrews says this. In Hebrews 4, reading out of the Passion Translation. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works. Just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. So then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief the same rut. Right? By the way, when this is written, it's written to believers. Okay? So when it says, cease from our own works, it's speaking, right? It's very clearly speaking to a believer's mindset, right? It's talking about anything that we do for Christ that doesn't originate from rest. In fact, you can read this whole section in Hebrews, and it's like, you can see the author kind of go like this, scratching his head like, I'm puzzled. You know, God did this, you know, like this breakthrough thing, so you can go into the kingdom, and yet you're still hanging out here at the door. Right? This is Danny's summing down the words, right? You're still, this is where he talks about you're still drinking milk. You should be eating meat. You're still, like, living at the cross, spinning your wheels. Mm-hmm. It's like, we should be, that was a launching point, yeah. Right? To go in. And so it's like, you can, to me, the writer's like, what are you doing, everybody? It's a little head scratching moment, right? And what are we doing? He's addressing this thing. You're doing anything that's just not coming from that hope-filled, rest-filled, kingdom-inspired, kingdom-filled, faith-filled, this reaction to life that just says, I'm living in with a kingdom mindset. I'm still over here. Yeah, but I'm still over here with one foot in, one foot out, right? Jesus is our only model for how we, like, let's just run through the gate, right? He says this in John 5. Jesus said, I speak to you timeless truth. Verse 19. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing. For the Son does the same works as his Father. Verse 20, because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything that he's about to do. Then he says this, and Eric spoke on this a few weeks back, right? In John 15, when he says, remain in me, right? As I remain in you, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is a lot what Bill was talking on in that word we shared last week, right? When we were sharing on testimonies and the power of testimonies and why that's so important.
Right.
It's the word that you guys, we watched after your Tuesday night, and you said, we should all watch this again. We watched that. We watched that. No, really, it's good. But that's, right? It's like this, he says, this is his glory, that we would bear fruit showing this, right? That we would, like, maybe I'm not experiencing what she is, so I'm just going to hang out with that. You know, that's what heaven is doing right now, right? So here's a question. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? We should ask ourselves, what don't I get about that? Apart from me, we can do nothing. He tells us, we just read those scriptures in John 15, about remaining in him, about abiding in Christ's love. We're talking about connecting with him, staying in this encounter with him, right? That's what all these verses are about here in John. It's like that we're going to stay in this place. It's what we worshiped about this morning, right? It's like one step closer. It's like, oh, what are we doing? Can you see yourself one step closer, mm-hmm. stepping into this hug? Where he's not letting you go. You're sort of one foot in, but what's it look like when you're all in and you're totally embraced by him? right? It's like, oh, I just want to hang here, right? And so when John's talking in 15 about remaining, and he's talking about just that we just hang out in this total satisfaction, total connection, total acceptance of Christ's love for us, right? And anything we do apart from that, anything where it's yeah, but, anything where it's one foot in, one foot out, anything where it's like, thanks God, but, and we've got conditions over here, right? God says, those things over here that you're doing that aren't fully embraced in here, he calls dead works. Okay. No matter how wonderful and awesome it may seem, even if those are all ministry things. Mm. Oh, by the way, we talked about that in Matthew chapter 7, right? When, do you remember the verse when he says, you know, the disciples say, but we fed the sick, we did this, we did this. And Jesus says, oh, I didn't even know you, right? Actually, depart from me. That's not me. And we learned a word that he shared there about the issue of like this, just be in this intimate place with me. He's talking about living in this encounter with him. But that's what I'm asking. And anything that's outside of that, do you remember what he called it in Matthew? Lawlessness. Disobedience. It's like anything that's not happening out of just, I'm just going to sit on Papa's lap and hang here, right? I'm just going to stay in the hug. I'm just going to let him just love me right now. Again, it's what we did in worship this
morning.
You
can be very busy. You can have all sorts of activities and still be in that place.
You can, right. So my priority must be about connecting to Christ experientially. I mean, like intimately connecting with him. That's what I need to be. That's my priority. My priority isn't my ministry. It's not my gifts. It's not signs and wonders. It's like,
right.
Those are like byproducts of being in
his
encounter.
That's a good word.
Right? Yeah. Because I think so many times we talk about the supernatural. We talk about the big things, the wins, the awesomes. Mm-hmm. And then we try to like sidestep it from just spending time with it, just saying yes to love.
Well,
just
churches want you to be all about the busy.
So there we get back to when we talked about the hyper learning and the disrupting the right. So our tradition, our culture, things we brought up. We did, by the way, didn't know any better. We absorbed what we thought, you know, we ran to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying, yay, Holy Spirit is showing us
kind of backwards.
More about who he's showing us two things. It's what are the two questions? Who's he?
Right.
And who am I? What's he say about me? We've so devalued our who we are. It's like, and we can't even imagine that he loves us like this, despite our junk.
Right.
I mean, he's totally in love with us, right? So I would just say, our first priority needs to be like worship. Don't sidestep that. That's not the agenda filler for our morning.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many more times I'm sitting here.
You need coffee and five shots.
Yeah. I mean, at times it's like we think that, sing your two songs so we can get to the real thing so we can preach.
Right.
More often than not, it's like, wow, do we need to preach today? Do we need to teach? Because maybe we just need to like, soak in worship because this is it.
Yeah.
And honestly, worship is really, it's like we connect with him. Mm-hmm. And how about if we're teaching right, it's like, wow, like it's almost like the field got plowed in worship. Now maybe I have ears to hear.
Right?
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Right? Maybe I have it. So sometimes it's like, don't hear me say that ministry is bad, gifts are bad, those things are bad.
Yeah.
It's just the order. It's just that our priority is just the encounter with him and just the love connection with him, the intimacy with him. And from that place, you know, we do things. Anything else, it's backwards, right? By the way, we like Hebrews, we start by the cross. The cross completed something for us, right? There's the finished work at the cross.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But what did we just read in Hebrews? You're stuck right there.
Right.
It's like, it's a finished work.
Right.
It's a launching pad, right?
Right.
Our mindset, we're still stuck. Wait a second. I've had all this instruction and teaching that said I've got to prove myself. I've got to do some self-work things here to better myself. I've got to penance. I've got to perform to get past it. No! Finished work, right? So we launch ourselves from the finished work, right? Because rest, when God's talking about rest, it's about the launching into this new kingdom mindset, right?
Yes.
So, this thing that... and that when I said 2007, 2010, so for me, for Darla and I, it was like, okay, I don't have much wind in my sails right now. I'm not getting, there's nobody on the side cheering me on per se. In fact, I felt a little, just the opposite.
Isolated.
You're breaking rules here. You're not following leadership.
Rebellious.
Yeah. You look rebellious. And you're a leader, and who wants to hear that? Because now you're ashamed, you feel guilty, and so now you're like, okay, maybe, now your mind's all these things, so maybe I am guilty, maybe I am rebellious, oh my gosh. So now you're, what are we doing? Back in the rut, get back in the box, and...
Right, not get out of the box.
Get back,
right?
Get back in line, get back, because what you're doing is, that's a disruptive thing, and it's like, my heart was, I don't know, God, I'm not disruptive. I want to be disruptive, but I saw something. I want that. I want the more. And so you can go and sit in church like this, and we can talk about identity, and we can talk about grace, and we can talk about new covenants. It doesn't look like that old covenant thing that you've been taught for 30 years, and nothing changes.
Right.
You can.
Right.
Because that. Wait a second. I watched all the Bill Johnson words. I went to Bethel and I went to a conference and I got all the books.
Right.
All I did was change one philosophy, one ideology for another.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's something that says, look, it's the teaching themselves. It's not the, all those are catalysts. Those are things designed for. What am I doing? I'm trying to renew my mind. I'm like the guy in Hebrews. We all are, where we're one foot in, one foot out. We're at the gate, and when I grew up, it was like you're never getting through the gate till you die. Heaven was through the gate, right? So you don't get all that till you die. And it's like, but now I'm like, wait a second, I do get it, and because Jesus says I get it, and He says, I've given you everything and I've released it all to you right now. So now I'm going, okay, now I believe it, but my patterns and habits are still over here.
Yeah.
Right? So the mindset change when Romans says, look, the renewing of our mind, I'm learning there's a whole new thinker.
Yeah.
There's a whole new kingdom thinker of practices and activities that needs some disruptors to get me out of ruts. Right? So this... So what's the catalyst to get there? How do I get there, God? I've got all the books, I've got all the teaching. The encounter. Worship.
Connection.
It's worship, right?
Yeah.
We worship and we encounter Him. And all of a sudden it's like that thing that propelled us, our disruptor was this attractive, unbelievable, addictive love of God. Like, oh my goodness. You can scream at me all day long, but I want that. I need that. And it was. You could say it's like a drug. I need more of that. I need His love. And so this Jesus is telling us, look, if you want the results that Jesus got, how about that? I'll say it that way. You want the results that Jesus got? What happened when He prayed for people?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week with everybody. It's like, well, I want the miracle. I want to see the blind eyes open. I want to see deaf ears open. I want to see people delivered. I want the radical. Wimber called it the stuff. I want the stuff, right? And Jesus says, then do what I do, which is step one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's he doesn't bypass worship. He encounters the Father. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to hang out with the Father. I'm just going to be right here letting the Father love me. Right. In fact, that whole sweet spot of John, when they're in the upper of the room, is Jesus saying, oh, that they would just get this right here, that it all starts from this love encounter with the Father. And he's praying, he prays on their behalf. God, show them that just like I get that, they get that. He literally is like petitioning heaven that they would just enjoy the love encounter, right? And by the way, they prayed for him, and did they experience it right away? No, because all you have to do is look what happened. He goes to the cross.
Right.
And then
discouraged.
Yeah, they're discouraged and afraid. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. But he said, we did all this stuff. We've been in ministry with them. And mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, we're going to go. And it's like, and if you follow their testimonies, you begin to see the encounter.
Right.
Right. The impact of the encounter on their life. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, ding. It's like, oh my goodness, things are lining up. The Saul Paul moments.
Light bulb moment.
Right? And now the Saul Paul guy is talking to the mm-hmm. Jesus disciple people who are like, he's a bad guy. We were with Jesus. You can't tell us. We were with Jesus. And Paul's like, I know. How much? And you didn't get this? Well, you should get this. Because that's what he was trying to show you. And right? Scripture tells us those whole stories, right? So I'll stop with that, right?
That's
but
good.
if we want our life to count, if we want, I want stuff, I want the moments, I want the, right? This, I want something eternal, then I follow him. It's not just, it's like I pattern my life, this is what Jesus did, so I'm gonna do that. So he said, nothing apart from me. You can't do anything apart from me, right? Other than what the Father's doing, right? So we have, Jesus says, it all starts from being in that place. He calls it rest. He calls it rest. You're not tormented about who I am. I'm not tormented about what he says. I'm not confused about that. Rest is like, yeah, that's what he says about. This is who I am. From that place, right? Sore. Right. Jesus. Mm-hmm. We want the radical encounter, the
yes.
Holy Spirit
yeah.
moment where you disrupt us. Our wheels get out of the rut, and it's shock us. So it's such a big encounter, God, it's like boom, because you moved us, like you just, something got displaced in my spirit, because all of a sudden radical love is connected to me. And so I pray for radical love encounters for everybody here, God, that their homes are rocked by your love, that they get the big dreams. Like those dreams that you wake up going, oh my goodness, right? You have visions throughout the day. You're hearing his voice. And it's all just confirming the encounter, the intimate encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just say, release that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.